dead seabirds called murres washed up on a Haines beach recently, apparently part of a die-off happening around the state. And an enrollment increase boosts Haines School $300,000. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. More than a dozen dead common murres washed up on the beach in front of Haines on Tuesday, part of an unsettling trend happening across the state. According to biologists, the seabirds are starving to death. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
Haines's Tim Ackerman was out for one of his usual walks on the beach on Tuesday when he noticed something a little unusual. Dead seabirds.
I counted about 14 of them between the cruise ship dock and the harbor. There was actually some inside the harbor too up on the beach.
He says when he saw the first dead murre, he didn't think much of it. It had been partially devoured and, as there usually are around here, eagles lurked close by.
I counted probably 3 to 4 of them that were still whole. Then I knew that they weren't prey. They were the starving birds that have been all over the state.
Rob Kaler is a biologist specializing in seabirds with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Migratory Bird Management Division. He says in the past few weeks alone, the conservative estimate for dead murres washing up on Alaska shores is up to 10,000. The birds are starving to death, a cascading effect of warmer ocean water, he says. Kaler explains that the mixing of cold and warm water raises nutrients like plankton closer to the surface. When the water stays warm, that doesn't happen, which impacts the entire food chain.
NOAA also reported this to be an unusual mortality event year for whales as well. So we're seeing, we're seeing effects of this throughout the food web.
Reports of dead murres started coming into wildlife officials in March, he says, with the numbers picking up in November and again over the Christmas break.
I think what we had there was a pretty severe storm that pushed birds that were already kind of towing the edge, just kind of pushed them over that breaking point in terms of, succumbing to the elements, not having the metabolic needs met.
Kaler says he's gotten reports of emaciated dead birds as far south as Sitka and as far west as Chignik Bay and on Alaska. He says of all the birds they've studied, no poisons or toxins have been found. The murre's stomachs are completely empty, Kaler says. Common murres eat between 10 and 30% of their body weight each day, which equates to between 90 and 300 fish.
It's really been kind of peaked in the Gulf of Alaska, northern Gulf of Alaska, Cook Inlet, Whittier, Seward, and then reports from Valdez, as well as now Haines, and then Sitka would be kind of the broad range.
The overall impact this die-off will have on the total population is unknown. Kaler says there are 2.8 million common murres in Alaska. If these deaths continue to occur and include lots of adult females in their breeding peaks, then it's possible, he says. And while the number of deaths this year are unusually high, murre die-offs have happened in the past. Kaler says they're mostly related to El Nino.
But in terms of saying that this could have population-level impacts, we hope it won't, but we intend to monitor and see. So our efforts right now are really focused on just trying to quantify the magnitude of this event, as well as capture the geographic scope, how wide is this occurring, and then the duration, how long.
In Haines, local bird expert Pam Randles called the discovery upsetting. She said the murres were feeding in Portage Cove and Lutac Inlet last week.
And so they're trying to find food in here, which is not their normal habitat.
Not only is the bird die-off unsettling, the implications are scary, Randles says.
Our salmon eat that stuff, and who knows what else is dying off or starving or having trouble.
Norm Hughes has been commercial fishing in Alaska for more than 30 years. He says last season saw skinnier fish, up to 20% smaller.
The fish came back, there's less fish, the price was down, and the fish were smaller, so it was like a triple whammy for a local fisherman.
Hughes says for now these events aren't a major concern. When they say go fish, he says he'll fish. Biologist Kaler encourages anyone who sees dead birds on the beach to report them by calling the hotline at 866-527-3358. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
The Haines School District is in better financial shape than anticipated. It has about $170,000 more in its fund balance than originally projected. At a school board meeting Tuesday, Interim Superintendent Rich Carlson explained why the district has more money. But he warned that with the dire financial situation of the state, the district should be careful with its funds. When the school board passed this year's budget, the projected general fund balance was about $730,000. Here's Superintendent Carlson.
Since then, we've had our audit, and the new audited numbers, which include the audited numbers and the budget revision, shows a current fund balance at about $906,000. Now, that's a hefty fund balance.
So why the change? Carlson explained much of it is due to an increase in enrollment, 25 more students than the board budgeted for. That's given the district a $303,000 boost in state funding. The district also received a bit more federal funding than expected. But there are also additional expenses that eat up some of that extra money. An increase in students means an increase in expenses. Contract negotiations were finished after the budget, so increases in salaries and benefits need to be factored in. And there are two new positions this year that were budgeted as entirely grant-funded, but Carlson says that's not feasible. The new Director of Student Support Services job was to be 100% Title VI-B funded. 6B is federal funding for special education. The new Director of Student Support Services job was to be 100% Title VI-B funded. 6B is federal funding for special education. Carlson said before it's been used for physical therapy, occupational therapy, and other similar services.
Well, that money pretty much went into salaries, and so we backed out some of her salary in order to compensate, in order to pay for some of the related services.
The other new position is the technology integration specialist. Carlson said the grant funds that were routed toward that salary are also needed for professional development.
With that, we had no money, basically, for professional development.
Even though there is an increase in expenses for the district, there's a larger increase in revenue. But Carlson warned against getting too comfortable, since 65% of the district's funding relies entirely on the state, which is facing a financial crisis.
I think there is reason for concern, and I think that the district really needs to try to position itself in a good position so we can weather the storm.
Also at Tuesday's meeting, the school board approved spending about $3,000 on the school climate and connectedness survey. The Alaska Association of School Boards survey asks students how they view their school climate, how connected they feel to adults and peers, and other questions that assess social and emotional learning. Here's Assistant Principal Cheryl Stickler.
In the past, we used the survey results to take a look at the social-emotional piece to revamp what was happening in middle school. And one of the things that happened was the middle school retreat came out of the school connectedness and climate survey. And we also looked at team building as a middle school.
The school board unanimously approved the $3,000 survey, although board member Sarah Swinton said after the vote that she didn't understand why they had to pay that much money on a survey. The board also unanimously approved the first reading of a revised board policy that deals with non-discrimination. The revision adds gender identity to the list of discrimination-protected characteristics. Carlson said the update was recommended by the State School Board Association to comply with federal laws. Finally, Carlson updated the board on the permanent superintendent search. He said there are 17 applicants so far. The application deadline is January 30th, and the board will begin narrowing down the pool in early February. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. And coming up in Lynn Canal Morning News tomorrow...
We don't ever see all the animals, and probably a rough guess is maybe I saw 65% to 70% of the actual animals out there.
Alaska Fish and Game say a December moose count in the Chilkat Valley shows the moose population in the area is relatively stable. That story and more coverage tomorrow during Lynn Canal Morning.